Chair. Good afternoon, members. Good afternoon, dear.
Good
Afternoon,
afternoon.
Minister. Afternoon.
We are short of one person to start the thing. What is what? Kholiso?
That. Hello, Chair.
Yeah, no,
Mr. Chair,
Obuchas
did
is
join? You
in.
can start now.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity to welcome you, Minister DM, and your support staff. You are welcome to the BRRR session of your department. We in the morning we have started interacting with the AG and planning and monitoring. So now we are interacting with the department. I hope so far we know the process of BRRR. I don't have to explain. So without wasting much time, I'm going to hand it over to you, Minister, to introduce the presentation and the team that is here on from your side.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to members of the committee. Acknowledging the Deputy
Recording in
Minister
progress.
and all officials who are present with us here. Chairperson, in the delegation, maybe just to indicate, because you are not in present, I've got the Deputy Minister, as you are aware. I've got the Acting Director General currently, who's acting, is Ngaka Dumalisile. I've got the CFO, Lucy Bele. I've got the DDG responsible for, I'm going through so that I make sure that we all have the people responsible for informal settlement, emergency grant, emergency housing, DDG Siyabonga Zama. We've got Acting DDG responsible for corporate services, Mathupha Thuse. We've got DDG responsible for policy, Nanamhla Wasi. She has joined, though she's actually, and just to congratulate her, she's graduating today, and we had requested that Nonhlanhla assist, but I see she has managed to join. We've got as well, just to make sure that we've got the right people, just checking that who did I leave. And then in my office, we've got the two advisors who have joined. We've got the PLO in the minister's office, and also the PLOs in the DG's office, who have joined. But the staff of the GM, who have joined us as well. I'm just trying to check head of office of the DG just to make sure that we've got. I see colleagues from HDA who have joined us both, which it wasn't necessary, but it's good that they always attend. Neville Cheney, who's in HDA. I saw Joy as well from HDA. Those are the two entities that have joined for this briefing. In terms of our work, I just thought, let me just start there. Chairperson, as we come before you, I know that we've submitted our annual performance report, and we've circulated the presentation in time. But just to indicate, while we are here, and we in the report, you'll see in terms of structure that we are reflecting several DDGs. That would be there. And maybe colleagues, if they can start checking for me, Mulalo, I don't see Mulalo online. If they can get hold of her, she's acting for us, or that she is in entity oversight. We have now received, in the matter of capacity, we've now received the approval from President to start the process, recruitment process. for the Director General of Human Settlements. We are shortlisting tomorrow. Next week, we should be able to do the interviews. And before the end of this financial year, we'll have a DG in place in Human Settlements. That's the first thing. In terms of appointment of DDGs, we have appointed all DDGs. Entity oversight is Sindiswe Ngongo, who's currently on maternity leave. Corporate services is Melilu Sulonyane, who's currently going on DC, and I'll explain the matter. And then we've got DDG policy research and strategy, DDG Mshongo, who's been fully appointed as DDG. DDG in informal settlements and emergency housing has been appointed. DDG Siyabonga Zama, DDG for affordable rental housing has been appointed, DDG Ngaka Dumalisile, and also in, and also we have Mulalo as acting because Sindiswe is on maternity leave coming back at the end of the month. And then we've got Matube, who's Chief Director HR, currently acting in DDG Corporate Services. We've had difficulties in terms of performance and other matters that we've been concerned about, but we sought to terminate DDG Lisolonyane after 3 written warnings. However, the courts found that we should still, despite having 3 written warnings, but also still having another DC take care through another DC, which we've reinstated her back into the department. We're going through the DC process. But because the matters that are affecting her are within the corporate services, we've moved her out of corporate services, but she is earning a salary while coming to work and is expected to be assigned responsibilities by the accounting officers. In terms of our entities, as part of our oversight and work that we have to do at the ministerial level as well, in terms of executive authority, Chair, we've been able to appoint all the boards. The Ministerial Advisory Panel, as per the Act, has been appointed in place. The Disclosure Office of Disclosure has been appointed, so we do not have any outstanding appointments that are required. In the process of the work that we have been doing, in the last financial year, we actually had a resignation from a CEO of CISOS and termination of services by the board of PPRA CEO. The process of recruitment has started in both entities, and as they appear before you, they will explain what is the process. We sought to fill all vacancies, mainly in terms of critical posts, CEOs and CFOs, and those are the two that are still outstanding. Just to indicate, honorable members, that there are areas that in terms of performance, I can say that for us, we are seeing the stability because of governance issues being resolved and also capacity in the department being fulfilled. There are still areas of concern in terms of improvement of performance, and that we are dealing with it as we look into monitoring and evaluation strengthening, and also oversight through both as the executive authority, the department, national department, but also at MINMEC level and strategic engagements with the municipalities. And that we believe it will be able to assist us. It is good news as we listen to Stats SA yesterday, reflecting on the work that has been done by this portfolio since 2011. We'd note that, Chair, despite us still having some challenges in terms of housing the nation and also providing shelter. The noting particularly of that we have reduced informality with 50% and therefore almost 16 million of people in terms of the population staying in a housing subsidy or a house that has been provided by government talks to the progressive nature of this work that we do and of this portfolio. Yes, there are weaknesses, but therefore there are issues. We are verifying the information we are checking because as Stats SA reflects yesterday, it says that we've been able as a portfolio and this government to provide houses to the to a number of 5.6 million, which is what we are happy about as we see. And therefore records will have to be looked at, verified so that we can cross-check as to whether that corresponds, for example, in terms of female households, child-headed households that are leading those households that have been provided. But this means that we've been able to deal with basic issues that the mandate of this our own constituencies and as per the constitution has been. Yes, there are gaps that exist to continue to improve. In terms of performance, there are areas that we are paying attention. What has affected more, and the CFO will come into that detail, in areas of performance, Chair, would be the work that we do and that would have been affected by the constitutional court judgment that dealt with the BBBE prescription that affected what we call the procurement process. But CFO will deal into that in detail as the presentation happens. Again, the other area is that we are starting to stay in the portfolio. Not only would we chase only figures in terms of how much we've spent, but we'll also chase in terms of the numbers of what we are doing. We're starting to track even at the level of MINMEC, our MTSF targets, to look at where we are able not to do well. And we've seen in terms of our statement in the last in MINMEC, where we acknowledge that our area of performance, with performance or non-performance, that we need to drastically improve is around title deeds issuing. And that's the work that we have agreed to that we'll definitely do, and that led to the introduction of Title Deeds Friday, that across the country, all of us who have the responsibility for human settlement should endeavor to issue our title deeds and ensure that the people who are in the houses that have been given by government are able to have ownership of those through the title deeds. Chairperson, the team will take you through, as members of the committee, issues of improvement. I did meet with the Auditor General's team. They did reflect in terms of our work, where we are. There's been quite a lot of work that has been done in terms of ensuring that there's improvement. Yes, they flagged some of the areas that we want to have ourselves paying attention to, and we'll definitely develop a program of action to be able to pay to those areas of interest. With that, Chair, I would like to give over to the DM just to make a remarks. Reflections, and then Team DG Naka will take over from there and make the presentation together with the team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, Members of Parliament, senior officials that are here, and everybody. Minister, I think you've touched all the issues that I have marked. And what I can say is that the mafia contractors, which the minister was asked yesterday, what are we doing in terms of blacklisting the mafia contractors? We have introduced blacklisting of all contractors that started project and did not complete them. The challenges, however, differ case to case, and we have a crisis on construction mafia. It was raised even by the last night when I was talking to some members, that the issues of mafia construction is quite serious. And I know that Minister has been talking about it, and we are busy working on it. And I think the area where the minister is also touched on it, the area of title deeds that we are dealing with, and I'm glad that the minister also we've had a launch of a campaign, and all every Friday want to make sure that we issue out title deeds, and then we have improved. I've looked at our report, and it looks like we have improved to 69% compared to last year. And I'm also happy with that. And I know that MINMEC took a decision. And also the question which was asked to the minister when you were answering questions in the SOP, there was a question around the unblocking of the block projects. And the chairperson and the members of parliament, they know the decision that we took around the block projects. We're working on it. We've seen progress in this area in KZN, Northwest, and in other provinces. We might not be moving as fast as we would like, but we're committed in finishing all the incomplete projects. With those few words, Chair, without wasting your time, and I thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, DM. Good afternoon, Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee and colleagues. Chairperson, we are presenting, we have actually submitted the presentation, which is a summary version of the tabled annual report. I will request Secretariat to assist and flag the presentation from their side. Secretariat, if you may be kind enough to assist.
You do have hosting rights, DG. Both yourself, Lucy, Sean, have hosting rights.
Okay, CFO, can I kindly request that you quickly assist? I did not put it on the right screen. Thank you. Let's go straight to the first part. Thank you, CFO. Chairperson, we have summarized the tabled annual report. If we can go straight to slide four. Chair, I am going to present part of the presentation, and I'm also going to request my colleagues to come in and present. I'll come back later, and the last person to present would be the CFO, who will then take the members through in terms of the summarized version of the financial statements. Chair, on this slide, we're basically giving assurance that in as far as the tabled annual report is concerned, it has met the requirements as prescribed, where you have the annual report, the detailed one, having part A all the way to part F, where we have covered your general information. Please stay and go back to slide four, where we have covered the general information, performance information, which talks to the predetermined objectives that have been audited by the AG, where we talk about the transfers, conditional grants, and we have also covered your governance-related matters, your human resource, your PFMA compliance, and lastly, which is the audited financial statements. So everything that was expected to be covered has since been covered, Chairperson. On the next slide, Chair, I am going to request the support of the CFO just to give a detailed account. These are the indicators where we had initially accounted for them and had prepared the portfolio of evidence. However, at the time of the audit, we did not agree with AG, and as a result, ultimately AG has actually arrived at a conclusion that they were not convinced with portfolio of evidence, and we had to adjust them downwards, and the CFO will step in at this point in time and take us through. I will come back immediately after that with your permission, Chairperson. CFO, please assist.
Thank you, Acting DG. Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, the Chairperson of the Human Settlements Portfolio Committee, the committee members and colleagues, good afternoon. I think this morning when AG was presenting, they did indicate that as a National Department of Human Settlements, even though our financial statements were clean, we did receive the findings on the performance information. But subsequent to the discussions, we agreed to make adjustments. And these are the indicators that we as a national department agreed together with AG to make adjustments on. There were four indicators that AG had raised. Number one was the development plan that we said that we are going to develop. That was the indicator. And when we submitted the audit, we did say to AG that we have met our target. However, through the discussions and the portfolio of evidence that was submitted, the AG raised a finding that this target was not achieved, and we did agree with them because of the portfolio of evidence and the way that this target was crafted on our APP. The second target was the number of reports on the 40% set aside on the designated groups. When AG looked at the information, and as well, we did agree that there were a lot of inconsistencies that were picking up when there was verification done, and some of the provinces and the metros did not even submit the information, and then we did agree to make adjustment on that report. And the other one, the third target that we made adjustments was the number of job opportunities. In this one, we did say that we have met the target, but when AG came and did an audit, we found that The reported information on the number of jobs could not be verified and supported by the relevant audit evidence that we had at that particular point in time. So this one, it came in such a way that this was a new target for the year under review, and it was not customized. So when we looked at the evidence that was submitted to us by the provinces, because it was not standardized, it was different information that was submitted, and we couldn't rely on the evidence, and we did agree with the AG that this target was not met. However, going forward for the year under review, we agree that we are going to standardize it so that we have got the same information that we'll be requesting for all the provinces. The last one was the implementation plans within our mining towns. And when we looked at this one, we did agree, because from what we're sitting, this one was a matter of the indicators. So when we look at the information versus what our indicators were put down, it couldn't match. And at the end of the day, we did agree with the AG that this target is not met. So these are the four targets that we made adjustments. Hence, we are having unqualified audit with findings. So the findings were already on the four targets. Acting DG, let me hand over to yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. We can go to slide 7. Chairperson and members, on slide 7, we're giving an overall account of the annual department's performance for the year under review. We initially had 39 targets, and out of 39, we achieved 27, which gave us 69%, and we did not achieve 12 of the 39, which gives us 31%. Chairperson, I do want to provide clarity. When you look at this pie chart vis-a-vis what was initially presented by AG this morning, and we did actually have an engagement at some point in time with AG. AG's presentation says the department's overall performance was sitting at the end of the financial year, and as per their audit outcome, was sitting at 50%. And when we had a discussion with them, they did indicate that they did not take into consideration the performance of Program 1, which is administration. They only focused on Program 2 all the way to Program 5. On our own, we actually also included Program 1, and that's why we have the difference where they have 50% and we have 69% of achievement. I thought I should provide that clarity so that then members, when they remember what was presented this morning, they should not think that we are misleading the members with this information. We can go to the next one. On the next one, Chairperson, we're doing a comparison in as far as the MTSS period is concerned. You will see that on slide 8, we have actually reflected on the overall performance of the department from 1920 all the way to 2022-2023 financial year. Members will notice that during the financial year 2019-2020, our performance was sitting at 63%. The following 2 years, there was a drop in as far as performance is concerned. And members would recall that these are the two financial years where we were actually grappling with the COVID pandemic as the country. And hence, we had those challenges and we had hard lockdowns in some of the during some of the periods. Now, the real comparison should be between 2019-20 financial year as well as 2022 and 2023, because these were the two stable financial years where we did not necessarily have some of those challenges. And that's where you notice an increase in as far as the performance is concerned, which therefore confirms what the minister said earlier on, where we're beginning to see some steady increase in as far as the performance of the department is concerned. We can then go to the next slide, which gives a clear breakdown in as far as the quarterly performance of the previous financial year is concerned. We started a bit slow in terms of the performance, where we were sitting at 58% at the end of the first quarter, and there was a gradual increase all the way up to quarter four. When we look at the final annual performance, members would notice that there was a decrease of 3%, and this decrease of 3% is actually accounted for on slide 6, which was presented by the CFO, where we had to adjust as a result of AG, where we did not agree in terms of the portfolio of evidence for some of the targets, and ultimately then we ended up with some of those targets not having been achieved, and that's why we're sitting at 69%. This would have come out differently if this did not happen. We can then go to the next slide. The next slide, Chairperson, We're giving a detail account in terms of the performance per program, and this is where we have our program one, which was not taken into consideration by the AG, where we had 11 targets on program one, which is administration, and we achieved 9 of those targets. We will give an account of the two that we did not actually achieve. Program two is your integrated human settlements planning and development. We had 22 targets and we achieved 16 of the 22, and we did not achieve 6 of them. Program three, I think members did notice that even DPME did actually show the same account in as far as our program three is concerned, where we did not achieve. We had one target, we could not achieve that one target. We will actually provide an account as to why we could not achieve that. Program four, that would be your rental housing. We had one target, we have achieved that target. And the last program, which is program five, which is your affordable housing, we had four targets and we achieved one, and we had challenges with three, and we will fully account for the three that we did not achieve. Chairperson, I will pause at this point and I will allow the DDGs to come in and assist for program one, which is administration. I will request the CFO once more to present. Chair, with your permission, I would request that the colleagues should rather focus on areas that are color-coded red, which are the targets that we did not necessarily achieve. We have deviations vis-a-vis the annual target and be able to account for such. Thank you, Chair.
I will be taking the committee through program one, which is administration. As the acting DG has indicated earlier on, we have 11 targets and only two were not achieved, whereas nine we achieved. I'm going to talk to that too. The first one that we not achieved is color-coded in red, is the percentage with the compliance, which is statutory tabling and prescripts. In this target, the target that we have put ourselves was the 100% compliance with the statutory prescripts, and we have achieved 74%, and the 26% that was not achieved was due to the two areas. One was the matter of the parliamentary questions, and the second one was the invoices that were not paid within 30 days. And the reasons that made us not achieve the invoices, and when I come back to present the financials, we are also giving the committee the number of invoices, the total number of invoices that we did not pay vis-a-vis what we have paid, and we did we acknowledge that as per the prescripts and compliance and as per the treasury regulation, we are supposed to have paid all the invoices within 30 days. However, there were glitches that we picked up on the system, that when there were certain invoices that were captured and we could not be processed because the error was system-based. And the other one was the parliamentary questions that were not submitted within the turnaround time, which is the 10 days. And we picked up that due to some questions that when they come in, we need the assistance of the provinces and the metros to enable us so that we can meet the turnaround time. However, we met as a sector, we came out with a standard operating procedure so that we are able to meet this for the financial year that will be coming. Then the second one that we did not meet was the implementation of the HR plan. The target, we met 93%, and there was 7%. That was not met. The 7% was due to the performance agreement of the DG. And we know what actually happened here, because there was a process of getting the DG to be transferred to another department. Hence, the performance agreement was not met in time. And other than that, these are the two targets that were not met under program one. So the other ones, I'm going to move to the next program, and I'm going to hand over to the DDG that is responsible for program two. Thank you so much.
Is Kim Song?
Acting DG, I propose that you take us through issues only.
Sure. No. I'm here. Sorry, I was struggling with my gadget. Acting DG, thank you very much.
Good afternoon to the Honourable Minister, the PM, Honourable Chairperson and members. I will take you through the areas of planning, research, as well as policy. As the acting DG has indicated, I will focus on the areas that we did not achieve. The first one relates to the number of reports that we are supposed to complete on the total human settlements allocation in the PDAs. We're supposed to develop two reports, Chairperson, and this target was not achieved. Although the report was developed, was focusing on the grants, the HSDG and the USDG, as well as sector investment. However, the report was supposed to incorporate the other inputs from the other sector departments. So that information was not received so that we could develop a comprehensive report. But it's an area that we are looking into now in terms of working around the DDM in terms of operationalization. But also we have engaged on individual engagements with the respective sector departments. And the late one, we have had a discussion with the Department of Water and Sanitation. We are engaging with social development as well as public works so that going forward, then we can be able to report comprehensively. But also there's engagement with COSA so that we can be able to address some of the issues that relate to local government. Also under planning, I think the rate that we did not achieve, the CFO has already highlighted, it was one of the four areas that the AG had raised issues around how the target was crafted in because it was referring to 22, 23 instead of 23-24 financial year. But also some of the business plans had been approved beyond the period of the financial year. Then under research, Honorable Chairperson, we had one output which was focusing on the completion of three reports. This also is attributed, Honourable Chairperson, to the issue of procurement, which was highlighted by the Honourable Minister, which affected in terms of the processes. Under policy, the areas that we had to focus on in terms of policy development, all those were achieved, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you very much, Acting DG. I'll hand over to yourself.
Thank you, DDG Msongo. DDG Zama on informal settlement.
Thanks, ADG. Afternoon, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair of the Committee, members and colleagues. The branch had one annual target, which was to support provinces and metros with the upgrading of informal settlements to phase three. This one target was not achieved because the business plan were not timely approved. As we know that a business plan will have to be approved before the financial year starts, and there were certain limitations that made us not to approve those business plans, especially in the three provinces of the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and the Free State. Those business plans were merely not ready for approval in terms of quality, in terms of their procurement plans. That's one area Honorable Chair, that the branch did not achieve. There were one target, we didn't achieve the one target that we were meant to achieve. Thank you. Thanks, Edith. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, colleagues. Chairperson, I will present the two next areas. The rental area, we did not have challenges in terms of the targets. Where we had challenges was in relation to the program on affordable housing. We initially had four targets and we only achieved one. We could not achieve the other three. The first one is in relation to job creation. This was a new target for the year under review. We did have information and reports. Unfortunately, Chair, on this one, we did not necessarily have a uniform way of provinces to report on this target. And as a result, this is information that could not be verified by AG because the information that was submitted by various provinces, they were not convinced that it's accurate information and they could not verify and confirm. And ultimately, then we agreed that this information cannot be considered. The second one was in relation to title deeds registered. We had a similar challenge on this one as well. We did have information at hand during the time of the audit. And this information, the portfolio of evidence in particular, we did receive some information on time from provinces. And in some instances, we did not receive information on time, which could not be accepted. Now, in instances where we received it on time, this information was not acceptable because then on this one as well, the evidence could not be verified and the accuracy of the information could not be confirmed by AG. And as a result, ultimately, we then agreed that this information cannot be viewed as having been achieved. And that's why we ended up with a non-achievement. The last one, Chairperson, was in relation to the affordable housing mining implementation plans that will be implemented. And we had initially planned to implement six of the affordable housing program agreements for the mining communities developed. At the end of the financial year, we then had two affordable housing agreements. And this was, we did not have six, but even the two that we initially had could not be accepted by AG. Reasons being that in terms of the technical indicator descriptions that we had on the APP, we had indicated that for every province where there are mining towns, we will have in the MOUs all the mining towns, all the municipalities rather, where there are mining towns. But at the end of the day, when we had the MOUs, we only focused on that particular municipality where there was a project at that particular point. This was not acceptable by AG. AG said, how you're going to craft your MOU is going to be exactly the way you have captured it in your technical indicator descriptions. And because it varies, we will not accept it as AG. And therefore, we will view these targets as not having been achieved. And that's why we ended up with a deviation where we have actually not performed on these areas, Chairperson. Chair, I think at this point in time, we will then go to the overall performance of the sector standardized indicators, which was based on the provincial audits. We did receive the audited information from the provinces in terms of the sector standardized indicators. These are the sector standardized indicators that we agreed on. For every province, there were these sector indicators that were captured with targets and outputs. And we had a number of integrated implementation plans for the PDAs completed. We had targeted 51, the output was 47. We had percentage of investment of the total human settlement allocated in PDAs. The target was 31%. We had the output was 38%. The percentage of land acquired during 2014-2019 with the PDAs rezoned, the target was 29%. The output was 0.07%. Number of breaking new grounds, BNG houses delivered. The target was 47,249 and the output was 33,892. Number of service sites delivered, the target was 52,868 and the output was
25,322. Number of households that receive subsidies through FLIST, which was previously called FLIST, and it's now called First Home Finance. The target was 3,272 and the output is 2,530. Number of rental social housing units delivered, the target was 480, the output is zero. Number of community residential units, which we normally call CRU, delivered, the target was 1,029, the output is 490. Number of informal settlements upgraded to phase three of the upgrading of informal settlement program, the target was 155 and the output is 21. Number of pre-1994 title deeds registered, the target was 6,757 and the output is 2,040. Number of post-1999 title deeds registered, the target was 37,474 and the output was 14,592. Number of post-2014 title deeds registered, the target was 17,021 and the output was 6,412. Number of new title deeds registered, the target was 8,331 and the output was 3,111. Chair, this is basically the sector performance in relation to the standardized sector indicators for the year under review. Chairperson, I will pause at this point, and this is where now we're going to deal with the financial information, and I will allow the CFO to take over from here up to the end of the presentation, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Acting DG. Chairperson and members, this is the financial information. This is the vote that AG has audited. So the figures that we are presenting here have been audited and agreed to by the Auditor General. Out of the 33.5 billion, we were sitting at 98%, only 2% was not spent, but on a monetary value, 2% comprises of 621 million to round it off. And the above portion, it just gives a budget and the expenditure per program that we have presented earlier on. We can see that the biggest budget for human settlement is sitting under program two, which was sitting at 22 billion. This is where the two biggest grants are sitting, HSDG and USDG. We have spent 100% because mostly it comprises of the transfers, and then program three is the informal settlements and emergency. This is the program that has underspent. However, when I come to the breakdown on my next slide, I'll be giving a breakdown of the 430. However, the 430 is where the emergency housing grants were sitting, which were a schedule four. And then the rental and social, we underspend by 40. So total of 620, the biggest contributor is program three, which comprises of the emergency housing grants, which were scheduled for grants. And then below, it gives the economic classification of the 33.4 billion, whereby we are able to see the split between the compensation, goods and services, and the transfers and subsidies, which is 32.5 billion. So we're sitting at 99%. However, the under expenditure on the compensation of employees is 51.7 million, and the goods and services, we are sitting at 187. And the goods and services is what the Honorable Minister has spoken about, that for us not to spend on the goods and services is because of the moratorium on the triple PFA that was put on by the National Treasury. And there is a correlation between the performance of our procurement plan and the goods and services, because when National Treasury issued a moratorium, we couldn't procure and we had to wait. And when we went to National Treasury to request for an exemption, and I think that National Treasury had grappled with the exemption because most of the departments and entities, they were affected by the triple PFA. And by the time that the new regulation came in, it was already late during the year, because the new regulation came in during the January 2023. So hence our goods and services is showing an under expenditure of 184.7 million. The next slide is giving us the operational expenditure. We are taking out our transfers. We are leaving out only the operational. So out of the 33 billion, 961 is our operational budget. And when we look at down on the economic classification, we can see that the under expenditure on our operational budget is what I had spoken earlier on the goods and services, which is 184, and on our capital assets is 9 million. So most of our capital assets we couldn't procure. And one of the reasons, for us not to procure was because of the China, because most of the computer software, we were told that they were coming from China, and we know we were struggling when it comes to the importing of the computer softwares and the hardware that we are importing from China as a country. This slide, it gives us now the grants and the transfer payments. When we look at the under expenditure that I spoke to on program three earlier on, is the emergency housing grants. We can see that the provincial emergency housing grants and the municipal emergency housing grants that are giving us a total of 372 million that was underspent, and it had to revert back to the revenue fund. However, these are the grants that are Schedule 7. Schedule 7 grants are the grants that we, for the past financial year or for the financial year that we are reporting on, are those grants that the provinces and the metros, they had to make an application. So as we close the year, 372 million, there were no applications that were received, and the money had to revert back to the revenue fund. However, I need to highlight that the 795 is because of the disasters that happened during that year, and the Treasury had to give us additional funding on the emergency housing grant so that we were able to respond. However, we couldn't utilize all of it. And going down on the bottom half is the scholarship program that we do not do very well. However, for the year that we are at now, the current financial year, we came out with the control measures. We came out with because when we sat down with the Honorable Minister, we picked up that this program was sitting under the wrong branch. It had to be go to the correct branches, whereby we are able to look at the performance of the program. And with the measures that were put in place for the year under review, and for this current financial year, we'll see a movement, because we have started paying for all the students, and we are having discussions with all the students that we are funding under the program. However, this money had to revert back to the revenue funds. The next slide is giving a breakdown of the total invoices that were not paid within 30 days. So for the year that we are reporting on, a total of 5,139 invoices were processed. However, 39 were not paid within 30 days, worth 4.4 million. And we are saying that, as you see, that we have reported that we did not meet the target, because the target, we are supposed to have ensured that all the invoices were paid within 30 days. Even though it's 39, we are not saying that we are happy with 31 invoices that were not paid. We are saying for the new financial year, we have put the measures in place to ensure that every day or every week, there is someone who is looking at the invoices that have been captured vis-a-vis the invoices that have been released on the system. Because the reason for us not to pick up these invoices, once we have hidden the paid button, we think that the invoices are paid. But when we went back, we saw that there was most of these invoices were not processed because of the system generated. So we are doing the reconciliation so that we don't miss. So when we come back to present the quarter one and quarter two, the committee will be able to see that the measures that we have put in place, they are really working, because we are processing all the invoices within 30 days. The next slide now that are coming is talking to the audit outcomes, and AG, they were here in the morning. They did indicate that we are sitting with unqualified audit with findings, and I had earlier on spoken about the findings, and we are aware that we are consistent throughout the years. We are not happy with the consistency, because we thought that for the 22-23 financial year, we are expecting to have sitting on unqualified audit with no findings. So this is what we are working towards, because when you look at the next slide, we are able to pick up where are the areas that we are struggling with. So when we look at the financial statements, our financial statements are green throughout the 3 years. And for this financial year, There were no even material adjustments as AG had presented earlier in the morning. So our financial statements are clean. However, we are grappling with the issues of compliance. We are grappling with the issues of asset management that has gone down. So on the compliance, we have got issues of the expenditure management and the issues of asset management. And the other issues is the issues that we spoke about on the performance information. I'm going to talk to the issues of this one I won't talk to because I've already spoken to them earlier on. These are the performance information that we have made adjustment on. I wanted to talk about the issues of compliance. One of the issues that AG has raised on, and they did say that we need to start paying attention to, is the assets not safeguarded. These are the shortages. So this, we have disclosed this 3.9 correctly on our financial statements. AG did not find any finding on that. However, AG is raising an issue that these assets, they are increasing. So it means that there is these assets that are under investigation that are going up. So as a department, we do not have proper controls in place to make sure that we safeguard the assets. So this is the matter of compliance that AG has raised. And they said this one we need to pay special attention to. Hence what we did immediately after the audit, we sat down with the team. We agreed that the team should go back and do 100% asset counts. We are sourcing the services because we are short on capacity. We have sourced the services of the outside service provider to come and assist us because we are going to do a 100% audit count to see all the assets, open all the storerooms and do everything to make sure that we account for all the assets. And as well as what we have done now as well, we have agreed with the team that they've also started doing that, is to look at all the assets that are not in a good working condition. Because you find that there is a storeroom that is sitting with what we are saying that they are broken assets. So we requested the team, they started to work. When everybody has left the two offices, they started going back to look at all the storages so that we are able to agree from the facilities point of view and the asset management point of view to say what is it that we are saying these are the assets that are broken that cannot be used, so that we can, as a department, make a decision on. The second one was the expenditure on the prepayment, is the expenditure management, the prepayment and advances. So we had two payments that we made. One was the payment to the GCIS and one was the payment to the School of Governance. The payment of the GCIS is the communication. This is a repeat finding, as you can see that AG has put a tick on it, that this is a repeat finding. What actually happened here was, last year when AG was raising this finding, we were busy trying to clear out the very same finding, whereby what we thought as a department was an agreement that we were utilizing together with the GCIS to effect the advance payment is not what AG regarded as an agreement. So by the time that before the audit was concluded, the department had already made the advance payment to the GCIS. But subsequent to the AG raising the finding and concluding the audit around July, we started as a department. There were no advance payments that were made to GCIS. We started as a department to come up with what we call an MOA. We even gave it to our legal unit that made a thorough work on it. They gave to the legal unit of the GCIS so that the two departments can agree on the MOA, so that when we make advance payments, we are complying with the Treasury regulation. The same MOA as well with the School of Governance, we have entered into an MOA. So I assure the committee that for the coming years, we won't be hitting the advance payments as the National Department of Human Settlements, because these are the issues that are standing between us and having a clean audit. And I'm going to give the acting DG to do the concluding remarks. Thank you so much.
Thank you, CFO Chairperson. We are at the end of the presentation. These are the areas for improvement that we have identified as the department. The first one does actually confirm what was presented this morning by the AG. They have actually raised it as a concern, our area of collaboration and coordination. And as a result, we are confirming that there is a need on our side to strengthen intersectoral collaboration for improved performance through the DDM. We also want to make sure that there is improved integrated planning, budgeting, monitoring, and reporting. And the last one, Chairperson, we want to make sure that there is improved procurement processes, which should impact positively in the implementation of the planned targets. And this also ties in with what AG also raised this morning as a concern, where they're saying we need to make sure that we achieve the key performance areas. And this is one of the reasons why we are highlighting some of these areas, including the first, the last one, and the first one, Chairperson. And lastly, Chair, on the next slide, we are actually presenting this report to the Portfolio Committee to note the 2022 audited annual report of the Department of Human Settlements as tabled by the Minister. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, for the presentation. Honorable members, there was the presentation. Those that want to raise issues, they can indicate through the raising of hands in the system. So should I close the meeting? We're done.
They're satisfied, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Heron.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you also to the Minister and the team, and congratulations on the unqualified audit. I think just maybe to note a concern around the inability to meet the targets for basic income, BNG housing. It's, you know, 14,000 odd, almost 14,000 units short of what the target was, I think is disappointing given the housing crisis. And then maybe just to raise a question around the delivery of social housing. The presentation indicated that there was zero output, but the document that we got from the Auditor General, or the summary of the Auditor General's report that was sent to us last night, indicated that there were 3,182 social housing units delivered in the PDAs. So is the issue that, or do we make a distinction between social housing issued developed and delivered in PDAs versus social housing in general? But really, I think my concern is just the fall in the number of housing units being delivered. But I'm also to say thank you and well done on the unqualified audit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Harold, Honorable Sushwai. Honorable Sushwai.
I'm here, Chair.
Yes.
Individual Technology Act. Can you hear me, Chairperson?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Honorable Minister, DM, the department and the entities present, and my colleagues. I just want to speak firstly on this issue of the mafia contractors. I think, Chair, if we can listen to what is happening in the country, there are groups, there are people that have taken a decision to undermine this democracy. And this democracy is implemented on the basis of the constitutional principles of our constitution. And we should respect everyone equally. Everyone has got rights equally so. And therefore, no one should be undermined. I think the minister and the honorable deputy minister, please, let's not undermine this, because this is war against this democracy. Let's make sure that we deal with these people, take them to court, because the processes of government, the policies and the regulations who follow a particular procedure for dignity should be well followed. So this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable, because people will go to the street and say, we want houses. And then from those two, there are others that give to me first. How does it happen? So I'm saying, please, let's protect our people that are in the queue, that are clear on how they should follow their government. The second issue there is the issue of the, in the reports of Auditor General and also the DPME, there are two programs that are not performing well. And those two programs are critical, very critical, for the transformed approach that the department has adopted on the housing program. It's very important that that excitement that we created, we must make sure that we maintain it to our people. The program three and the PDAs. I listen to the officials as they present. They seem to be managed to get those areas where there have been weaknesses and reports went out with those challenged gaps. Please, let's make sure that we do not have that, because we do not know where else these reports went to. And people would say, hey, that department doesn't know what is it doing. Because one of the issues that we made a request to DPME is that make a depth analysis on where exactly do we losing the ball. And for an example, on program three, is it on the program planning, or is it the activities, technical processes, on business processes where we're losing the ball? Or is it a lack of an integrated planning between the three spheres of government for a particular program or a project? So that we get to the crux of the matter, we don't generalize. We must not generalize. So they've agreed that they've got a sector portion that they are going to get the detail and be able to address these issues with the department. Please, we must get that, so that, because the whole program now is negated, whereas there's a particular area where we're losing the ball. Let's get to know that and then tighten that area. I say the same with the PDAs. Are our systems coordinated? When we speak about the PDAs, where we're going to have housing developed in that particular area, are we speaking together at once? Are our systems well coordinated? I hear the issue of the business plans and blah, 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 blah. But are those business plans that have been created by province, municipality, speaking to national? Because it should not be excitement, and it should not be what you like and what does that one like. it should be what would make us all to be seen effective in our program. So I'm just saying that, please, let's get to those issues, because it worried us when we see that these are the critical programs of the department. The other issue that we raised, I raised on the NHFC. NHFC has done a huge program for this country. It has created a profile that many people didn't know, that indigenous people, that poor people, women are bankable, more especially in rural areas. I made a view, problematic as it is, Honorable Minister, to say government, when it created the social security issues of SASSA, which is highly populated with many people that are getting grants, it did not mean that they must take the 3,500, and when it's a 10,000 in a family, a household, they must eat it. It meant that people have got brains and it gave dignity to them. They can think about what else economically they can create for the living of this family. Now, I made a view to NHFC to say, can they make a research analysis about those households that have got more than 10,000 in the collection of those that are benefiting in the SASSA grant? They agreed, Honorable Minister, that they are going to make that assessment. The last one is the issue of these assets. What is this asset? Is it a spoon? How much is this spoon? And how old is this spoon? Is it a car that is not movable? That is for years under depreciation. What is this asset? How is this process starting? Because they've got to deal with the issue that is value for money. How is it, who goes and verify and make sure that this asset is necessary, so that we don't spend money for assets that are not going to add value in the process? I'm raising the issue without having any knowledge of how is it happening, but to say, please, let's get to it so that we don't create a view that says we've got assets and we need to pay for them, whereas they are going to make a loss in the department. Thank you. Thank you very much for the unqualified audit, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister. It is not going to be easy. It is going to be up and down because of the nature of the program that you're dealing with. Housing is a very, very emotive issue. So all these issues that you're raising, we're raising issues because we want our housing development to be in good order and keep on doing a good work. We really appreciate and get to where there are weaknesses, so that in the next financial year, we don't get those non-performance. Thank you very much.
Honorable Malematsa.
No, thank you, Chair. Afternoon to the Minister, Deputy Minister, your team. Chair, we have been together from this morning, colleagues. Let me start by thanking the team, CFO, for clarifying a lot of confusion that was nearly caused by the earlier session, and extend my warm welcome with open heart on this unqualified audited report. We are very happy. It is touching. And we must say it is because of some of the efforts that they were there and must be emphasized. The point that all nine entities, they've got their votes, is really showing that the department is hard at work. And if the state last night can say we have built more than 5 million houses, that's a serious problem. I mean, progress. And taking into account that even after COVID, there's been a navigation to show improvement. I think, Honorable Chair, the department is doing very well. They really deserve to be reminded that they are bringing confidence to the masses of our country, that they are hard at work. It's just two where I think they need to improve. The issue of the business plan on the informal settlement, let it be followed up. Number of our people are there. Let the department deal with that one. We must further say we are touched when close to, if not 25,000 service plans are given to the people to can put house of their dreams. We are very touched with this, and we are saying continue the good work there. It never happened, it starts now. That's a very good start. We must really applaud you on that. Now, in future, we'll want to emphasize the issue that you meet the AG prior they conclude everything, because they've got tendency of trying to match the good report. And when it comes to find that you didn't do well, had it not been that you are afforded this opportunity, somewhere we were getting confused. But now we are very clear. The other area to improve is your own internal auditing. We will also want to improve on them, that they assist. We don't want to be told by the AG. We want to clean this. And we can tell you this department will go far. Honorable Chair, one is very happy. If need be, this report can pass. Thank you.
Hello, Chair.
Okay, I was saying that I see the mic of Honorable Doctor is open. Now I can see the photo, but I don't see the hand. Comrade Doctor.
My hand is up, Chairperson. I did put it up. I'm not sure why it didn't go off. Maybe my network. But I remember specifically pressing it. I see now it's actually not up. My apologies for that. I thought you were going to call me. That's why I unmuted. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson. Good afternoon to the colleagues, the Minister, the DM, and we thank you for the presentation. I just maybe want to ask a few things, Chairperson. We're happy that, of course, the department has an unqualified audit finding. But I think not so much about the actual findings that were found. Chairperson, in the earlier presentation today, the Auditor General mentioned or highlighted a couple of issues that were of concern from their perspective. Amongst those were key vacancies being filled and which had been pending or reoccurring over years. The other thing was action plans, not addressing identified findings, for example. Of course, this was also in relation to entities, so not necessarily only isolated to the department. But I would like to get the vision and ideas around how the department is planning to correct all of these issues, including non-implementation of the Auditor General's recommendation, as we had discussed earlier today. I think we also heard earlier on, Chairperson, that from the performance and monitoring department, that a lot of the programs in, or some of the programs, particularly the ones that were problematic that we discussed today, in human settlements, were due to poor planning. Of course, also looking at issues, highlighting issues of provinces that are submitting projects, in especially in relation to informal settlements that weren't actually ready for implementation. And that's what the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation had said. So I would like to just get an idea on those issues. So I guess the informal settlement and how the department is actually monitoring that provinces are being realistic, firstly, around their plans, and that those plans are actually implementable, and how it is that the department is perhaps not picking these things up at least mid-year so that there's some level of intervention from their part. Also then, just to summarize, Chairperson, so that my questions are properly recorded, the non-implementation of the Auditor General's recommendations, which the Auditor General highlighted as one of the challenges in terms of audit findings, both for the department and its entities. The action plans in terms, okay, yeah, that's the Auditor General. The key vacancies, I think the Minister spoke a little bit about in the beginning. But just to follow two other questions, Chairperson, I perhaps didn't catch it nicely if the Minister did give reasoning, but if we could just get an idea around the reasons why an employee would be you know, reinstated in a position after three written warnings, just to get an understanding around that, and, you know, its relation to labor law. Yeah, I think, Chairperson, I'll end there, but yeah, maybe just not to delay the meeting. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Doctor. I don't see any other hands. Just to add on the questions, the issues that Auditor General has raised, the increment on the irregular expenditure, which Doctor has tried to pick them up on the audit action plans that are developed. But seemingly there is no implementation, particularly in the department. Of course, entities, because they are going to appear here, they will have to tell us what is it that they do. But because the department, again, that they are oversighting on these entities, what might be the reason for entities that they develop the audit report or the action plans and they don't implement, and the issue of monitoring from the side of the department in making sure that entities implement those issues. And the worrisome thing is the even the recurring issues, one was so disturbed by the NHPRC, which the only one thing that stopped them to get the audit, working clean audit, and the historical challenge. And we would want the department to specifically follow up on these issues with the boards on those issues to make sure that they get finalized. But we are going to hear from them, but we just want to implore a department, because you have through the responsibility to oversight on the entities. How do we make sure that we reduce this irregular expenditure doesn't go up, and the culprit entities, which majority of them are, of course, the historic. And the issue that we were raising was that, but how long should we have a irregular expenditure without resolving them, because it's standing between your clean audit. And though I welcome your audit finding in terms of qualifying, but you've been you've reached stagnation. I was saying this department has a jealousy to give us a clean audit. Why are we not getting clean audit? How do we make sure that all the minor issues that or those issues, not let me not say minor because there have been audit found findings, are get resolved and we reduce this irregular expenditure, particularly on the entities assist them to reduce that. The second issue is on the there is no correlation with your budget and the outcome of the or the meeting of targets. The particularly with the sector as a whole, though provinces you are giving the money, budget is finished, but the targets are unable to meet the MTFS targets, as Honorable Harold has raised. One is it's worrisome. It's worrisome, and I just believe that at some point, if we would have time, because we know that HDA has actually, maybe just to congratulate Minister for HDA has performed very well, which we appreciate. Looking at where it comes from, it's a milestone for the department. But we're still worried about the PPRA. If the department can put more effort in assisting, supporting, assisting, and monitoring the implementation of the action plan in the Auditor General. So that we assist them to fill the vacancies in those areas that Auditor General has raised, and congratulate you, the Minister, that in terms of your responsibility, you're able to fill majority of positions and. Even the speed that you have moved in finalizing the DG's issue is encouraging. But one of the things that one has got a problem with is, which is not the problem of the department only, but it is the problem of the system. Because this is a natural thing that will continue to happen within the system, where you would have we appoint the person today, tomorrow probably identify a other opportunity somewhere he leaves the department, you have a vacancy, you appoint an acting and this you find that now the department, if you lose a, for instance, a CFO, where you expect that you're supposed to have people under CFO, the system just go down like somebody destroying everything. And probably we should then look at how, as we appoint people to act, how do we strengthen the contract with them such that they are able to maintain the status quo, such that the department doesn't deteriorate, because the reality of the matter is that you'll have natural causes. People might be called, they will have natural calls, dies. Others identify other opportunity to leave the department. How then do we make sure that the system doesn't collapse because one person has left the department? So it's something that, Minister, we should look at how we can deal with that, because it's very worrisome. Now we will be happy that people, you fill all the positions, but tomorrow if somebody goes, then we are going back to square one. And this thing is natural, it's going to happen. So I think we have to develop mechanism that will make sure that we don't go back to, we don't lose the, the momentum in the department and in the entities and in the department where you lose one person or two people. So I think those are my things. And with provinces, I think we just have to work very hard. And one is impressed, Minister, with the Auditor General's report in terms of the alignment that we've seen with provinces. We're just there are only one province or two which still operating outside the system, and which is Free State, and we have engaged the Free State. We have seen how you are contributing in assisting them to do better like other provinces, and we welcome even the provincial unqualified audit, because it means that we are starting to work as a one team in the provinces, and thanks for that. We appreciate all the good work that has been done, but Sinasfuni Upin Audit Minister, we're tired of unqualified. Must move in. Let's go to clean audit now. Kehale restakile mo unqualified. Thank you. Can we then get? We'll hand it over to you, Minister, and your team.
Thank you very much, Chair, for that. I'll request the team to start. Maybe let me start with DDG Mhlongo, be the first one, and then we'll follow with DDG Zama, and then CFO, and then or entity oversight Molalo, and then we'll go in that way. I'll come with DM at the end. Let's just start there.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you, Honourable Minister, for the opportunity. I will relate to questions relating to planning. Honourable Member had asked a question about the challenges around planning, is it the processes, is it poor integrated planning? It is indeed a combination of those aspects. Around planning, because planning is very key for us to achieve the desired outcomes at the end of the day. Part of the challenges around processes is even the time frames of planning between the local government and SEER, as well as provincial, in terms of the difference in terms of financial years, which then results that it's difficult at this stage, but those are the engagements that we are looking into. But also in terms of a coherent integration, so that when there is a development, it's aligned even with other sector sector departments. So as part of the work that now we are doing in order to try and arrest that situation is that as we are looking into development of new MTSF, we have started engagements up to a district level as where especially there's metros that are involved and provinces, so that when we have discussions around planning, we are in the same room so that then we can begin to have a clearer picture in terms of how we our planning processes would rather be complementary so that it's not fragmented. So that is what then we are dealing with in order to make sure that our planning processes are efficient going forward. Of course, there would be challenges in terms of the different functions and mandates, but through engagement, we are confident that we will, through those little milestones, achieve the impact that we seek to, that we aspire to realize at the end of the day. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister.
Molalo, or is Zamabin? Okay, proceed, Zam.
Thanks, Honorable Minister. Thanks, Chair. Chair, maybe I'll start with one of the challenges. One of the challenges is the growing number of the informal settlements. When you look at the numbers before COVID and after COVID, you can tell that informal settlements are growing every day. It's a question of what is it that we are doing to keep up with the growing number of informal settlements. We have been directed by the minister to look at the geospatial mapping of all informal settlements. We need to do the reblocking of these informal settlements so that we are able to do in situ upgrading of informal settlements, because relocations also are a problem. Therefore, we that will be our main focus to keep up with the challenge of the growing number of informal settlements. But regarding the target that has not been achieved, we've been able to address that when you look at quarter one, where we're supposed to approve or support metros and approve their business plan, that was done. All metro business plan were approved, allowing metros to start implementing their project at the beginning of their financial year. I must say that we are working very hard to keep up with the challenges that we are experiencing in the program, Honorable Chair. And I think that what we are doing is to improve on support to both provinces and metros so that they can improve their performance in terms of the output and the financial performance, Honorable Chair. Thanks, Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Molalo. Proceed.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, Chairperson. I'll start addressing the issues of monitoring with regards to projects that are put in the business plans that would not be ready for implementation. What we've put in place with regards to that is the project readiness metrics that we look at all times to make sure that the projects that are there are ready for implementation. And if that is the case, that there are some that probably went past the approval process without being satisfying the readiness metrics, what we do is that there's also ongoing monitoring that we've put in place during the implementation process when we provide implementation support to ongoing project implementation. We monitor all this, and what we've instituted with regards to that is that there is quarter monitoring, end of the quarter monitoring, we have performance reviews where we look at how the performance is going so that if there are corrective measures that have to be implemented, that gets done immediately. And with regards to the entities and monitoring of the action plan, we have an action plan that we've put in place with regards to the findings from AG that need us to follow up on. And what we've done is that over and above the oversight that we provide with regards to governance, we have now constituted the reviews of those action plans in line with the performance and the entity's mandate. So that's what we've put in place with provision of oversight. And with just quarter one that has just passed now, we're starting to see results because we're able to follow up and able to provide ongoing support so that we do not miss on the targets that we've set for ourselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mulalo. Matupe?
Thank you very much, Minister. In terms of the processes of the official who has been given three warnings and having to come back, I confirm that, Minister, it's issues of the procedures, not basically issues of the content or the issues of substantiveness of the matters in terms of the charges or the issues that were raised against the employee. So it's the court raised issues of procedure. Hence, we had to implement the judge or the court order to reinstate the employee back into the department. I mean, I'm not sure if there is another one that I must respond to.
Yes, there's an issue around skills retention and HR management within the department that was raised by Chair. How do we ensure that sustainability of employees and build capacity for the department? That's corporate services and HR.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Minister. In terms of staff retention, Minister, we have the bursary schemes, we have the training and development budget that we have for the department. We encourage employees and Minister to ensure that we capacitate and to ensure that when vacancies happen, as the Chair has indicated, that it's a natural attrition, to ensure that when we appoint employees to act, we have employees that are capable, but we'll keep on improving on that, because Chair is raising an issue of saying the performance seems to be dropping when we are doing the acting appointment or when the vacancies are there. So we are also in the process of the skills audit that will also inform us in terms of the gaps that we need to close in terms of the skills in the department, to ensure that we even are able to respond to the coming or the other priorities that are coming in terms of the performance of the department, in terms of ensuring that we always have capable and capacitated workforce. Minister, thank you very much.
Thank you, CFO.
Thanks, Honorable Minister. I will start with the issue of the assets that was raised by Honorable Sushwai. As national departments, we work on the cash basis of accounting. The cash basis of accounting, we don't depreciate. We account for each and every asset that we buy, no matter how small it is. So we have got two categories of assets. We have got what we call minor assets. We have got what we call major assets. So this list of the 3.9, it has been there throughout the years. So every time when we are doing an asset count or a verification, we are unable to locate one of the assets, we will just put it there and disclose it properly. But the mistake that we did as a department was not to go back and check on the asset and try and locate all of those assets. When you look at the issues that are sitting under minor assets, Honorable Sushwai, is things like your microwave, things like your dustbins. These are the minor things that they were bought long time ago. So because we don't depreciate, because under normal circumstances, for the others that are not using the cash basis of accounting, they will write them off immediately. When they procure less than 5,000, they will just account for the money coming in and out. But for us national departments, you can't do that. You need to put it in the asset register. So things like your dustbins, things like your microwaves, and in the past years, the department will even buy things like, you know, the trolleys. These small trolleys for serving teas, they're also sitting there. The kettles that we are using to boil teas, they are sitting there on the asset register. The trolleys, the laptop trolley bags, they're sitting there on the minor asset. So these are the kind of things that we agree that we need to go back and revisit. When you look at the major assets, because immediately after the audit, we agreed to go back and go one by one. The biggest chunk of the assets that are sitting there are the billboards. In the prior years, the department, when they were opening a big project, they would procure a billboard. The billboard that would be saying that this project was opened by the Minister of Women Settlement on this particular date and so on and so on. One of the billboards that is sitting there is the one that is sitting on the N2 gateway. As you drive from the airport going into town on the N2 highway, there is a big billboard that is sitting there that says that this project was opened in this particular year. It was done by between the City of Cape Town, the National Department of Human Settlements, and so on and so on. So there's a lot of those billboards that were procured by the National Department. They were included in there because some of them could not be verified. I'll give an example. There is one billboard that we're looking for that I had to ask the colleagues from the City of Joburg to go and locate for me. It's in the Soweto Highway. When they went, I think it was next to, I don't know Soweto very well, but the team did go there. They sent me a picture. When they went to verify, the steel poles, the pillars are still there, but the zinc inside is not there. So these are the kind of things that we are sitting with, because we find that nobody went, because when they went, they found that it's not there. But instead of doing the proper thing of writing it off so that it is disposed, we just say we cannot find the billboards. So those are the kind of issues that we are saying now we have started doing one by one. One of the assets that is sitting under major asset was a server. Myself and one of my colleagues, we agreed that a server is a big thing. There is no way that we can say that we cannot locate a server. We went back. We found out that there was a storeroom. When AG was auditing, or when the colleagues were doing a physical verification, they couldn't locate the keys of the storeroom. Then they decided that we cannot find the server because they couldn't open that storeroom. When we went and opened the storeroom, we were able to locate the server. So these are the issues that we have started now to go back to basics, to say we are taking 100% of all the assets in both the asset registers. Even the assets that are under investigation, we are doing 100% asset count, including the assets that are sitting in the storeroom that we are saying are broken, because we want to account for each and every asset. And what we are doing now, we are not buying all these other assets like your dustbins, your trolleys, your bags for the laptops. When you procure a laptop, it comes with a bag. So there is then no need to go and procure an additional bag for a laptop, because they sit under minor assets and then we are struggling. And the other thing that we did with my colleagues, the issues of the microwave. When colleagues says we want a microwave, we say we'll go to the storeroom and get a microwave. When you come to my office, I'm still waiting there with an old microwave and an old bar fridge, because it's what I got from the storeroom, because they're still in a working order so that we can continue utilizing them, other than procuring more microwaves, more bar fridges, whereas in the storeroom we are sitting with this kind of assets. So those are the control measures that we are putting forward. And Honorable Kumalo, on the issue of the action plan, the AG findings, I think we are an exception. And I think when AG was presenting, they were talking more on the entities other than us. For the National Department, we've got our audit committee that is fully functional, that is on a quarterly basis. they track our action plan. When we go to the age, to the audit committee, we present on the status of our audit plan. We even put the percentages. They want even to see who is the responsible DDG, what is it that you are saying you're gonna do, and we also put the date. They want to know on what particular date are you going to make sure that you address all the findings that AG has raised. So on a quarterly basis, we do go to the audit committee to present our action plan. And we do take the recommendation of the AG into account. When I was presenting on the issue of compliance regarding the expenditure management, I did indicate that after the up and down with the AG, their recommendation was that we need to have a memorandum of agreement so that we don't have this advance payment. By that, we did take their recommendation into consideration. We went to our legal department. We said, legal, we want you, because you are legal people, you know what an MOA should look like. So we did that. When they come to audit, they will be able to pick up that we have even shown them all this MOA that we have agreed into, we have signed between our sister department, so that we don't have the repeat finding. When we look at our management letter, one of the findings that AG is bringing on board, that's saying we are changing our targets every year. The reason why we are changing our targets is because we are taking their recommendations. Because they will come to us and say, but your target is not smart, it's not smart. Try and do it like that. We will try and do it. So when they were talking about the action plan, I think that we are an exception because we are taking what they are recommending. On the issue of the irregular expenditure, they are not referring to us. When you look at our financial statements, what AG has audited, we have got an irregular expenditure of 1.4 million. And that irregular expenditure, we have disclosed it. And when you look at the prior years, we are dealing with all the irregular expenditures sitting on the prior years. Because we are looking, when we look at what we have disclosed on our annual report, we are, consequence management in our department is happening. When you look at the irregular expenditures, we, after a determination test, we request the accounting officer so that we can hand it over to the internal audit. Then the internal audit will look at all the irregular expenditures. They will come up with recommendations. Once internal audit comes up with recommendations, the accounting officer will say to the relevant DDG, these are the recommendations of the internal audit, act on them. We as a department, we are acting on the irregular expenditure. Hence, the value of the irregular expenditure is going down. And the other issue was the... No, I think I've covered all the issues on my side. Thank you.
No, no,
Dr. Ellen,
you have for the correlation between the finance and the output from province.
Oh, sorry, Chairperson. Oh, okay, the correlation between the budget versus the target. Chairperson, this is a difficult one. And because as a national department, we transfer. Hence, we are sitting with 100% on our program two and the informal settlement grants, because we have transferred the grants. Then on a quarterly basis, the provinces, they submit the financial and the non-financial. And then come end of the year, when AG reports, and that's when we get this information that there is no correlation. And we have just received the annual reports of the provinces as well, because we do not have the final figure until now when we were concluding on our annual report. So what we are going to do now is to sit down, because once we do, according to the grant framework, we need to evaluate the performance of the monies that we have transferred. So what we are going to do now is to sit down with individuals, because we need to come up with an evaluation that is done between grant management and MNE, to look at the financial versus the non-financial, so that we can submit to National Treasury by end of November. So before the November ends, before we come up with that report, we are going to have these discussions with all these provinces. Because now we have received the annual report, we are going to look at what did the money buy. Because according to the Division of the Revenue Act, we need to do that exercise. So when we are done with that evaluation, together with the MNE, we can submit the report to National Treasury and submit the same report to the Portfolio Committee. Because on that report, that's where we will be able to see that this is what has been transferred to the particular province. And this is how much has been used for the customized indicators. What happened to the balance? Because we know that on the grant framework, 5% on the money that we have transferred is going to be used for upscale. And we know that there are some monies that have been used for land. And there are some monies that have been used for fleece. That is not part of the customary indicators. So these are the kind of issues that when we are doing the evaluation on the performance of our grants, we are singling out. So let me just say that when we submit our evaluation report, we'll make that report available to the audit committee, because that one will be giving us a clear indication of the correlation between the financial and the non-financial chairperson. And the report, according to the Act, we submit towards end of November to the National Treasury. I think I've covered that as well. Thank you so much.
Acting DJ, your area and just overall, and then the GM.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable Chairperson, I'll cover some of the questions. I start with a question from Honorable Heron on social housing. Honorable Heron, the question that basically what was presented this morning by AG, when you look at their presentation, slide 11, what they presented under social housing under SHRA was the number of social housing units tenanted. And initially they showed a target of 3,529 and the achievement by SHRA is 2,595. What we then presented earlier on was our sector standardized indicators as the provincial information that was audited. Our information talks to the number of rental social housing delivered, and that's where you have the difference between the two information, Honorable Member. The second one that I will look at is the question that was raised by Honorable Sixwai. Honorable Sixwai, it's actually a comment and a question. This is in relation to the information where we indicated that some of the reports that we submitted initially were not accepted by AG because they're not verifiable or they did not accept the evidence that was supported. And the question is such that we need to get the information jealously. Fortunately, Honorable Sixwai, that information, once AG has concluded the audit, the information still remains with the department, but yes, we will make sure that that information is actually properly safeguarded, considering that it does have critical information. The last one, Honorable Minister, that I will respond to is a question or maybe a recommendation that was raised by Honorable Malimecha, where he was recommending to the department that we should really look at improving our internal auditing. Yes, we will look into that. What gives us comfort in as far as the internal audit work is concerned is that ordinarily, annually, they would prepare an annual audit plan, which they would present to the audit committee, and it would be adopted or approved. The most unfortunate part of it, Honorable Member, is that ordinarily AG does not put reliance on the work that is done or performed by internal audit in any institution. We will have internal audit doing their work. Their angles and methodologies would differ, and therefore when they come to an institution, they will start afresh and would not necessarily consider the work that has been done by internal audit. So they do assist, but they would have ordinarily focused on the other areas, and when AG comes, then they would look on other things. But we are getting assistance, but we will try and make sure that we improve on that end. Thank you, Honorable Minister.
Thanks, Acting Gigi. DM, anything from you?
Thank you, Minister. Chairperson and members of the committee.
We have noted the comments, concerns and recommendations, Minister. Let me start by thanking members of the committee for acknowledging the progress made in the last year. We also welcome the recommendations, Chairperson, and we definitely pay attention to the concern around staff turnover and strengthen our succession planning in the department and entities. To close the gap that you always talk about, Chair, and which is one of it is the issue of staff moving. So we'll pay attention to that. I think members of DDGs and FDG have spoken to some of all the questions, and also we also took note of the concerns raised during the portfolio committee interactions this morning with the AG and PDME, particularly around our service delivery. I must say, Chair, that as a person who has been in this department, I could see the progress, and I'm happy with it. I would like to thank you, Chair, and the Minister, and also the Members of Parliament for your advices and your comments, and thank you very much for giving us time to improve. And that's all from my side, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, dear. Chair, maybe just to wrap up, all issues have been responded to by the team. Emphasis is more around, yes, the issue around correlation between the work that we are doing, targets versus the money that is spent, Chair. One of the things that we started doing in the MINMEC was to start tracking and doing reporting where provinces would see from this side how much you are spending. So we'll do performance in terms of financials and non-financial performances in the MINMEC. In that way, we do believe that Chair will improve a lot. And utilizing the platform of MINMEC as part of aligning, even both from the plans, but also from monetizing and budget, but also taking responsibility by provinces. But more importantly as well, just to appreciate the work that is being done by the committee, because it is through those meetings that you have been calling provinces into to account together with municipalities that has strengthened the collaboration between us, the provinces and the municipalities, but the feedback assisted to make sure that all of us understand that we have to work together in a coordinated and collaborative manner to see the improvement. I think that's the work. I am confident, Chair, that going forward, you see quite a lot of improvement and also focus on the targets. I think one of the things that we have to do even ourselves, and when we start looking at the business plans, is to emphasize not how much money is going to be spent, but on what we want to achieve, so that it becomes our target basis, and then we can be able to do the issue of what. We still have to pay attention on the quality of spending in the portfolio entirety or the sector, and that is one of the things that is important. We're spending money, is it for the right purposes? Is it for the output that we want? And that's why one of the things that we started to say in the MINMEC is that let's pay attention to the quality of spending in the portfolio so that we can be able to correlate. We are seeing improvement in performance in MTSF, Chair. So far that we are doing, the only area that we are weak, as I said, is title deeds, and we are doing something about it. Other areas we have started to see improvement and also alignment, but again, achievement of the target. So there are areas that we are doing well, but there are areas that we should be able to pay attention to. Now, one of the things that the state has committed to do is to build capacity of the state. Now, unfortunately, with the constraint around restriction of COE, we do have challenges. So we are able to fill vacancies, and we've been able to do that. But going forward with what National Treasury is having a conversation with us, Chair, there will be difficulties, because currently the conversation is that we must be able to fill vacancies which are critical. And also sometimes what we'll have to do is put a mechanism in place, because once there's opening, for example,
of certain things around early retirement and all that, you tend to lose the skills that you want, and the people that you don't want are the ones that remain. So we'll have to have a retention strategy as the department, be able to focus. But more development, as there's been an issue around development of staff members, but also link that with what NSG, National School of Government, is doing, like we've done with our boards, we've trained to them through NSG. So there will be some level of development that we have been having conversations. But again, the skills audit that we are currently doing in the department is one of the mechanisms so that we can know the skills that we have in the department and the skills that we do not have, and focus to be on those skills that we do not have. So it's a work in progress, Chair. We'll continue to report on what needs to be done. I must emphasize the issues around informal settlements, DDGs I must spoke about. It's areas as well that we have said, as we said, that we have now started to say that geotech and all those things that needs to help us. And as you know, it would have been over time one area that provinces and municipalities would have underperformed, that would have led to reap what you call reallocation of funds. And this particularly for us as well, Chair, was because we had no head in that department, in that branch. So with the appointment of DDG Zama in that area, we're confident that as he looks at filling the critical post, some of it is done on a temporary basis or on contractual basis to be able to meet the target. We do believe that that situation will improve in that area. And then the last point around the issue of the employee, Chair, as Matupe has said, it's the issue where there's interpretation. Legally, we had received a report or an advice that because the employee has 3 written warnings, has gone through DCs, therefore it qualifies to be dismissed. But the court had a different opinion. And because it was one that was continued, and we felt that instead of just going to go back and forth with the appeals and all those things, because we could have subpoenaed, we decided that let's reinstate, but do the process. It is something that is unwarranted or unfortunate, but we will do the process. I can confirm we've put in the employee through a DC process. We've given that notice and the work will continue. We were waiting for state law advisors to assist us in the process in appointing of the chair of the DC and a prosecutor of the, what they call lead evidence person in the process, so that we can be able to do that. You would note that consequence management happens. One of the judgments that has come is that when we had an issue of the PLOs who were appointed irregularly, and it was a matter sitting in our books, we went to court, and court has found in our favor, and there are quite a number of them that will continue to clear in terms of this area, because there are quite a number of areas where we are spending a lot of money on appointments that shouldn't have happened. And we'll continue to clean up in that area so that there's credibility of our system, there's credibility, integrity in our work. And we can assure you, Chair and members, that ours is to preserve the credibility and integrity of what we are doing. And we do believe that we've come a long way, as you acknowledge, in quite a number of work that has been done in various entities. And we'll continue to do that. PPRA, I'm confident that we will be able to turn it around. The current acting CEO has done a fantastic job, I must say, in stabilizing, positive feedback from sectors. I used to get complaints from all the sector every day. Currently, there isn't. All we get is praises that, for example, exams are written on time. There is no problem in terms of CPDs. There is no problem in terms of issue of FFC certificates. And those are the things that we had asked the board. Can we get the basics right? And therefore start building from there. So the capacity and the recruitment process, I do believe that we'll be able to see. And in other entities as well, one of the things that I committed when I arrived in the portfolio, Chair, was to ensure that there's credibility of our portfolio, but manage the brand. We no longer have quite huge negative reporting in the media about the portfolio, because the stability and everybody's focus on the task, and we're expecting everyone to do their work, and there's accountability for the work that needs to be done. We have regular meetings with the boards and hold them accountable. They know, all boards that we said will hold them accountable individually and collectively, because they have fiduciary duties. And that's what we are doing, Chair. And we are grateful, because there's quite positive work. We know that it's not everything that is perfect,
but there is a light in the end of the tunnel. And we hope that in the future we'll be able to deliver to you a full clean audit as you have requested, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, DM and your team. Honorable members, do you have any follow-up? There is nothing. I will take this opportunity, Minister, to thank your team and yourselves to come and interact with us on the on your annual plan. Indeed, we should continue to work together and align our work and continue to strengthen the capacity of the sector for it to be able to deliver the intended target. And the issue of the job creation and the 40% set aside by your system, you must do more on that one. Those tables, what the round tables meetings, they must continue, and probably in areas where they are not responding, probably you should actually even use the portfolio committee that we should go there and make sure that we can compromise on those important targets of government, because those 40% set aside are meant to transform the industry itself. We cannot get the clean audit without transforming the sector. It will not make any sense, Minister. But thank you very much. I think we appreciate the good work. We'll continue to engage with the entities. We'll start on Friday. But thank you for the good work, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much,
Chair.
Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.